keep supporting the industry. Drink wine. Drink that bottle. The special occasion is today. You're alive. You're healthy.
It's interesting watching these wines that we're making come alive.
But man, this is a really exciting time. We've got technology in ways that we access to it we never had.
The biggest decision in winemaking is when to pick.
Another thing I think about how fortunate the timing was and how we're able to put together what is a very fragile operation from farming all the way to bottling.
We say, so drink the wine. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 384. This week we feature Luca Alves, brand ambassador for Chianti in Italy. Chianti is a very special wine that sometimes can be a bit confusing. That's why there are people like Luca Alves, brand ambassador for Chianti. It doesn't hurt that Luca literally lives in a vineyard in Italy. We met Luca a few years ago in Chicago during a Chianti tasting, so it was nice to be reunited even though it was only by telephone. The love of wine brings people together, and hopefully soon we will share wine again in person. I'm here with Luca Alves, and Luca is the brand ambassador for Chianti, and we met, gosh, I don't know, two or three years ago in Chicago, something like that, do you remember?
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty sure that 3 years ago, it was like end of October, 2017 maybe, or 2018.
Yeah, that was among the many tastings that would be done in Chicago, and at this particular time, tastings are on hold pretty much everywhere. So, just before we started the interview here, we talked a bit about the situation, and clearly our listeners know what's going on, but Italy has been so hard hit, and especially for the wine industry, because the wine industry is such a social business.
Yes, it is. Actually, the situation hits very hard. Every single field of the Italian industry, and especially, you know, that the production, the wine production, the wine industry, and in general, agriculture in Italy is very important, like an industry. And we have been hit very, very strongly because of this virus, because the wineries, you know, it's not the kind of business that you can turn off or on when you desire it, because the field, the vineyard, the cellar and everything is going on and on. And now we are in the springtime, and probably the most important month, I mean April and May, because of the blossoming of the vineyards, because every single attention that you have to give to the vineyard is more important during this period, because it's like the rebirth of the vineyard after the winter time. So the wineries had to stay in the vineyard, had to work again, but at the same time the government forbid some kind of situation. And at the same time the wineries stopped to have some financial entrances, because no sales during the period. You can imagine, because of the restaurants, because of the export, because of the Horeca in general. The only wineries, the biggest one, survive a little bit better because of the GDO. So since they are selling the wine in the supermarket, in the big chains, they also have some plus during the month of January and February and March. But, you know, it's something that is not enough for the wine industry itself.
Yeah, the whole thing is what recovery is going to look like, and you know, you're going to have workers that will be in the vineyards, but the good thing about vineyards is there's enough distance. I would think that normal work should be able to continue. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're right. Fortunately, the open-air work, like in the vineyard and in general agriculture, because, you know, our wineries are not only producing wine, of course, mainly wine, but they're also producing olive oil and some other stuff from the field, you know, from the countryside, as you can imagine, and you already know. But, you know, it's a key point, because, yes, we can still work in the vineyard, but the winery have the problem to pay the people that are working because no entrances. So what they need to do is to take back some money that they have, of course, in order to use it to pay the people, the workers. But this situation cannot resist for a long time, because actually everything is designed to arrive to the final client that is paying for the bottle, that is paying for the bottle of olive oil, and so on. If you are cutting this kind of sales, the winery has not the opportunity to pay the workers. So this is it's a point. It's the main point, and the tough point is this one. So how long we can resist in this situation without having no entrances, no financial entrances? And plus, you have to consider that during this period, especially during the Easter, a lot of wineries as the one that we call agriturismo, so kind of countryside also, that they were expecting to have a lot of visits during the last weeks and so on, because the season is starting now in every single different aspects, and they got just cancellation because it's impossible to move, it's impossible to travel, not just impossible, it's forbidden.
Yeah.
So you don't have entrances, but you have to pay the workers, and yes, you have to work because you cannot leave the vineyard. So it's pretty tough and complicated situation.
And you said you're in the Tuscany area, correct?
Yeah, exactly, nearby Florence.
So not necessarily in the city, but at least you're away from things to a degree, but you still see the effects of everything.
Yeah, sure. I'm watching from the distances because I'm living like 25 kilometers from the city of Florence. You know, Florence is not a big city. We are talking about 500,000 people living in the town of Florence. Then we have the provinces, so I'm living in the province in 25 kilometers more or less from the city. From here, the things are a little bit, not too complicated to live every day because you have the proper distance. You don't have to walk down the street to go to the supermarket because there's no streets. There is no supermarket nearby, so the only thing that you have to do is take your car and drive for at least 10 minutes to go to the nearest supermarket once per week, once every 10 days, as I normally do, in order to have as less as possible contacts. As I mentioned, we need to be responsible in this kind of situation. So we need to, also to have proper behavior in order to use the food in a more appropriate way. Don't go every day to buy things in the supermarket or to buy cigarettes and everything. So from this point of view, it's very helpful to live in the countryside. But of course, we have the news on the television is H24/7 talking about the situation, about the deaths, about the increasing or decreasing of the spreading of the virus. So it's pretty tough. We don't have the immediate sensation of being in danger here in Tuscany, but we can feel it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, there are worse places you could be, let's face it.
Yeah.
So as a brand ambassador, obviously your job is promoting Chianti, which is, of course, a wonderful wine, wonderful wines, I should say. Do you have the opportunity, though, are you spending time in wine cellars, in wineries actively, even in the vineyards? Is that part of your job at all?
Yep, of course. Actually, I'm living inside the vineyard. Technically speaking, I'm living on the border of a famous winery here. I'm living in the sub-region of the Chianti Rufina, and I'm living actually inside the vineyards of known vineyard winery here in Chianti Rufina. So actually, technically speaking, I'm talking to you, I'm watching outside the window and I see the vineyard. So I'm technically speaking inside the vineyard.
Well, that's a nice place to be. I guess I'm asking you to kind of describe what you do other than the obvious promoting Chianti.
Well, part of my job is consists in the back office job in order to organize everything for the exhibition and for the events. You know, since Chianti is exported, roughly 70% of the production is going outside Italy, and especially extra-Europe countries like U.S. or nowadays especially in Asia. It's very important to have strong promotion, especially when you are talking about a very historical, cultural, and popular wine as an appellation, as Chianti, like Chianti. So half of my time is in office, organizing and coordinating of the activities. There is another half, and it's getting more and more a long time. I spend outside traveling and in different countries all over the world in order to promote the appellation. Since 2018, we established also a new project, which is called Chianti Academy, that was born in China, in order to give more and more education and instruction to the professional of China, in order to understand what is Chianti about. Not only the wine, but beside the bottle, also the culture, the art, the history, the technique that we promote, not just the wine, as I mentioned. So this project has taken a preparation, and it's taking me a long time traveling all over the world. And now we have another, a second edition that is called Chianti Academy Latam, which is based in Latin America. So we have these two big projects of wine education, of Chianti wine education, that takes me a long time for traveling during the year. Half of the time is traveling, half of the time is preparing. Of course, during this preparation in the back office, we have a lot of tasting here in Italy. We have an internal committee that is in charge to decide and to select the wines that are going to be part of this kind of institutional promotion. So technically speaking, we're talking about tastings, blind tastings, thousands of wine tasted for this. So also it's another way to be in touch with the dynamic job that is the winemaking, because Chianti itself is changing also, so you need to be updated every time with the new versions, new labels, new production, and so on.
Interesting. Well, that kind of brings me to, as you talk about this project you have in China, often people ask me about all kinds of different wines, and certain wines maybe need a little bit more explaining to people, and Chianti might be one of those wines. How would you explain Chianti to somebody who knows nothing about it?
Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not easy because we have a long history. We have a long tradition, not just about Chianti, but in general. Not just about Tuscany, but in general. In Italy, we have a long, long history and tradition, of wine tradition. And you have to consider also that when we are talking about Chianti, we are not just talking about the wine itself, if not the culture, if not the food. So we have a large field of arguments to explore, to describe, to study about it. So we decided to articulate the project in two sessions, because the format itself has been designed in order to be performed in the four full days, but three of these days are lessons, so a full day of lessons about history, about techniques, about Sangiovese grape, about vinification, everything that you can imagine about the wine. And then to finish, we have the students have a final exam, which is a professional exam divided in three phases. The first phase is a multiple choice quiz You have 1 hour to reply in order to answer roughly 50, 60 questions with a multiple choice answer. And the best average of the students that we have in the class, we have the access to the second phase, which consists in a blind tasting. What is the blind tasting about? It's, you have four wines. Three of these wines are Chianti, but only one is not a Chianti. So you have 10 minutes to taste these four wines and to tell me and to tell to our committee which one is not Chianti. Then the finalists, the real finalists, will have the access to the phase number three, so the one that will guess which one is not Chianti, and they are going to retaste the three wines in order to tell me which one is who is who. I mean, you know, Chianti has a different kind of production. We have the normal vintage Chianti Annata, as we call it in Italy. We have the Chianti Superiore, which is an intermediate category, and then we have Chianti Riserva. So in these three classes, you have these three options of Chianti. You need to retaste the wines and to tell me properly which one is, and possibly to have some wine pairing suggestions. So it's not easy. Of course, it's not impossible. We had a lot of nice results all over the world, in China as well in Latin America. We have finished the first edition of the Academy just before the entrance of this damned virus in Italy. So we collect a lot of very good results from all over different countries. So the project itself is pretty articulate. It is divided in two sessions. Normally, in between the two sessions, will pass like 2 or 3 months. For example, we have performed in the Latin America the first session in October, and we have finished with the second session in Mexico just 1 month ago. So in between 3-4 months, the students will go back to get in touch with the Chianti and everything. They have books. They will taste wine, of course, during the lessons, because we had like 30 different labels and kind of Chianti to taste, from the newest one in the market, the youngest one, 2018 for the recent session. Then we have Chianti Superiore, then we have Chianti Riserva, we have the Vinsanto, which is another gem of Chianti. And we also created a special category, which is called Chianti Vintage or Super Vintage. It means Chianti wines from out of commerce, from very, very old vintages. We arrived to taste some Chianti from 1997, for example. All of this in order to give to the students the opportunity and the tools to understand the variety of Chianti, which is pretty large, and also the variety of, I would say, the dynamism of the Sangiovese grape itself. So if you have the possibility to taste, for example, in an horizontal tasting, different Chianti from different sub-region, but from the same vintage, you will understand the differences. And that's one of the main focus of the Academy. And I believe, and the results are getting better and better, so people are understanding a lot of this and much more about Chianti itself.
Now, two questions related to that. Number one, is that strictly for wine professionals, retailers, distributors, sommeliers, or is it available to consumers? And two, is that something that would be eventually coming to the U.S.?
The number one is mainly focused for the professionals. So professional sommelier, retailer, distributor, importer, and I mean people related to the wine industry and business, mainly. We had some proper wine lover during the session, but it's a very small percentage. because it's mainly focused for the professionals. Mm. And to answer for the question number two, I hope so. Of course, I think that Chianti should be more and more present also in the U.S. because U.S. is still the market number one for Chianti. And, you know, the project was born as a tool, as an opportunity especially made for the very new markets. So China is very new. Latin America for us is very new. So in order to give them more tools to understand something that is still very new for them. I mean, in some places also the wine consuming is very new, not just the Chianti wine consuming. So we designed this in order to reply for this kind of demand. But of course, you know, including in Italy, we should do it at some point because, you know, we firmly believe to have knowledge about Chianti and about our wines, but when you go deep in the glass, you understand that since the Chianti is a pretty large appellation and with a large variety of expression of wines, you will never know enough about Chianti. So every single country will be necessary to be present with this kind of project. So I hope that U.S. can be one of the next places where we are going to perform this.
I hope that happens. That would be very interesting. I like that you're doing that because there does seem to be occasional American confusion over Chianti, especially when we're talking about Sangiovese, which is the grape, which is just an extraordinary grape for my opinion.
Yeah. And it's useful. It's a beautiful flight because imagine, for example, in the special categories like Vinsanto. Nobody knows about Vinsanto except some very, very, very Vinsanto enthusiast. When you have the opportunity to taste 6, 7, 8 Vinsanto all together and to have the explanation of the DOC, of the history, of the winemaking technique and everything, it will open for you a new door, another world. So just for example, this kind of opportunity is very intriguing. Then we have, for example, the Super Vintage One. In the moment when we uncork the bottles, both in China and in South America, we have uncorked some old bottle, as I mentioned, but nobody has tasted so far 1997 Chianti, for example, because our wines they are not in commerce. So this is very interesting, even for the professional that already have some approach to Chianti. That's already had the opportunity to visit Tuscany or to have some work relation with Chianti and Tuscany in general. So I really recommend this kind of experience, and I really hope to have the opportunity to perform it in the U.S. also.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's going to be interesting, but it certainly creates a challenge, too, when you're talking about terminology that's so very specific.
Yeah. Including pronouncing Chianti itself is not easy. it seems obvious, but when you go to China, it's not easy for them to pronounce the CH Chianti, you know? So it's more easy for them to pronounce something that will sound like Kanti or Xiandi, like we had translated in China recently. For example, in Latin America, it's even curious this kind of situation, because most of them before the academy used to pronounce Chianti like Shanti, like something that sounds more like French. Shanti,
it does sound French. Yeah.
So it is funny, but since the you know, day one, first thing first as being how to pronounce properly Chianti. So it seems obvious, but it's not obvious. So we need to be, I think that while we are trying to understand about wine, we need to be very humble about this. So to pronounce properly the word itself, it's a very nice first step.
Well, I'm thinking, Chianti's there. What about Sangiovese? There's people here.
Yeah. Sangiovese, it changed in different shades. Yeah.
Exactly. It's funny. That's an interesting thing to bring up. Well, let me ask you this. You know, how long have you been actively professional in the wine industry, Luca?
long time. I started in the wine business around 2000. So in between 18 and 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with a good length of time.
A long time ago, because my father has been working in the wine industry for like 40 years. So I've been in touch with this kind of industry since I was very young, 16, 18 years old.
What does your dad do?
Yeah, it's wine, wine and public relation, wine commerce, wine events. Something from some point of view similar, close to what am I doing.
Sure.
But at that time, it was very different because there was not a so strong export. There was not the opportunity to travel that much. So it's changed a lot, this kind of situation. But the mentality of the one-to-one, introducing wine, wine tasting, wine events, has been part of the job of my father during 40 years.
Well, I guess my question is, and this might be a difficult question, but for all the time you've been doing this, has there been one underlying lesson, one major thing that you've learned that really stands out as being one of the most important things about wine for you?
Yeah, of course. First of all, when you are into the wine industry and you are into the field, you really understand the importance of doing it. Let me be more precise. I've been starting this job not from the office, but from the vineyard itself. I've been working in the cellars for years during the harvest time, but even during all time, all the seasons, no? So vinifying techniques in the cellar, labeling, everything that is related to the wine cellar activities daily. So I really know what does it mean to harvest during 40 degrees, or to work in the field in general and to wake up at 5 or 6 a.m. and everything. So how tough can be the agriculture itself. But I also know, I've been understanding, I must say, during the years, how satisfying can be to have the final result. So people from all over the world that are open your bottle, the result of your sacrifice after 1 year, after 2 years, after 10 years. So it's very gratifying, especially for the winery itself and for the winemakers, to receive, for example, pictures of people opening bottles even after 10 years. Mm. And telling you, oh, I really appreciate your wine even after a decade. Oh, how is impressive this Sangiovese, how beautiful is this evolution. So this situation I've been experiencing, especially in my second life in wine, when I started to work in the office, and especially for the export, in terms of education, because I don't sell wine, I just sell, I used to say that I sell blah, blah, blah in terms of wine education.
Yeah.
But since I had this opportunity roughly 10 years ago with the Chianti Wine Association, we started to travel a lot, and I've been touching by myself this final moments. So the people that are looking to you are saying thank you, even if you are not the producer, because you are bringing them some culture, bringing them some sacrifice. I think we need to respect a lot this kind of aspect. And the second one, I think that during this long time, I've been learning a lot about wine, not just having wine, not just tasting wines or teaching or experiencing about wine, but especially since Chianti is a very, a gastronomic appellation, from everything that is surrounding the wine and gastronomy in general. For example, I'm a very a big fan of tea, and since I'm traveling in Asia, I'm having a lot of tea. I also have been involved in the tea industry for years. Believe me or not, but I've been learning a lot about wine, having and experiencing tea. Why? Because when you are tasting the wine, and in general, when you are tasting foods, you are experiencing yourself, you know, smells, aromas, intensity, persistence, texture, and everything. Everything is not just related to wine. It's related in general for the drinks, for the food itself, for the raw ingredients. For example, if you are describing a wine which have some hints of tropical fruits, but you will never have the opportunities to taste any single kind of these tropical fruits, you will just mention, this wine tastes like tropical fruit hints. Mm. Okay? But, for example, if you have the opportunity to taste a mango, or to taste a papaya, or to taste passion fruit, or to taste maracuya, after this, while you are having this wine, you will mention this wine not just because the tropical fruit hints, but you are going to name the hints. Okay, this wine is tasting like this kind of mango flavor, this kind of passion fruit and everything. That's why the experience beside the bottle is very important to approach, I would say, a next level of comprehension of the wine. And then from this, you can have a large experience. For example, since Chianti is a great table wine in order to understand table like a good way, so the king of the table, then you have a lot of and more options to pair your wine, your wines with this kind of experience. So this is, I think, the second thing that I understood during the recent years in order to improve my comprehension about Chianti wines and wine in general.
That's great. Interesting to think about this because there's so many aspects to this idea of what we taste, what we drink, what we experience.
Yeah, of course. We need to be open about wine and to be humble, I think. To understand deeply, you need to be open. Otherwise, you will keep yourself inside some schedules, some schemes that you're not getting off. So everything will be very, very flat. But wine is not flat. Wine is very alive. And you need to fit in this kind of lively sensation, I think.
And then there's so much wine out there to try.
Yeah.
Luca, this is great talking to you again. I'm hoping that, number one, everybody does well in Italy, and hopefully you'll see the other side of this pandemic right now. But more importantly, too, I hope to get to see you again sometime, my friend. It would be nice to catch up with you again and chat a bit more about this. You are a veritable encyclopedia about wine and Chianti.
Well, thank you. I have to say, Ray, it's a very big pleasure for me to have this kind of opportunities to have some wine conversation. And, you know, it's very good to discuss about wine, but it's even better to discuss about wine when you are close to a friend like you. So I hope to see you very soon in U.S. and Italy or wherever. In general, it would be a good chance to meet you again. I hope very soon. Let's see what happens. You know, we need to be patient about this situation. We need to remain calm. It's very important, not just because one day we are going to travel again to reestablish, reconnect what is for now a little bit stopped, but also to communicate, to transmit to people that are coming to Italy this sense of serenity, security, you know, is very important because, you know, our business is not just selling the wine, but selling some culture and not just outgoing, but especially and more with incoming people. So until the people will understand, will feel this kind of insecurity of being or traveling in Italy, we will not getting out. So we need everybody to have seen this kind of hope, this kind of sense of responsibility to getting off this situation as soon as possible.
I concur. Luca, again, thank you very much. My best to you, and I look forward to having some Chianti with you again soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Meanwhile, if you want to uncork some Chianti bottle, you are free to do it.
I'll make sure
feel free to do it. So we don't need to wait that long time. So we're going to do it as soon as possible.
Oh, no, I don't wait. Trust me.
I do believe you.
All right. You take good care of yourself, sir. Cheers.
Thank you. You too.
Learn more by visiting consorciovinochianti.it/en.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Geeshan. Copyright 2020.